In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The reading that I do is very seldom connected with the gospel message that we read in the church. A lot of priests, they prepare for the gospel message, and that's kind of it. And I'm not trying to separate myself to say, oh, aren't I grand and aren't I special? No, I don't mean that at all. I just mean that I've always have been interested by things that were sort of obscure. I like things like that interest me, things on the margins. You know, in the laws that were given to the Jewish people on Sinai, half of the laws, or maybe 70% of the laws, were about ethics and about the relationship of humans to humans. But there were some that were only having to do with man and his direct relationship to God. And some of them are kind of absurd. Now, who is this person behind the pulpit saying that what God has said is absurd? But do you know that the Jews, that they cannot wear a piece of clothing with mixed fiber? In other words, you cannot wear wool, you cannot have a garment on that is wool and linen or cotton. Or silk and cotton. You cannot mix fibers. What does that have to do with anything? Anything at all? Very much. Do you know when people are keeping these kinds of habits, what they are doing is they are giving themselves a group identity. Have you ever seen the people from Eastern Europe, you know, 100 years ago who were Jews and seen the kind of hats that they wear? They look like they don't fit. It's kind of like just up on the top of their head, and they have a huge wide brim, and they're made of fur, and all of the men, every man, not one single man is allowed to walk around without a beard. He must have a beard and he must let it grow. If it grows scraggly, okay, that's how it grows. But you don't cut your beard. And they have the little locks of hair from the time that they were children and were bar mitzvahed. The boys have these little locks right here that may grow. Sometimes they just slip them behind their ears to make it look like it's part of the hair in the back. And sometimes they just let it hang down. But sometimes it's 18 inches or longer. Why would God do this? It's so that the people themselves would recognize one another and say, you know, he's like me. The traditions that he keeps are my traditions. His morals are like my morals. His principles are like mine. I can trust him. He's a brother. He's a brother in faith. It's not like coming up to some stranger. This person is identified. Now, it used to be in Egypt that because of Islam, people who were the dini, they had to wear a 5-pound cross around their neck. You know, I don't like the idea that anybody imposes anything on me personally. That's why I hate masks. If I want to jeopardize my own health, or if I want to drive or climb Mount Everest or swim with sharks or whatever, this is my freedom. I grew up prizing freedom. But can you imagine? There is no way in the world that you could be mistaken for anybody else but a Christian with a 5-pound cross around your neck. In the monastery, I learned a lot of things from His Grace Ambekaras. He was very close to me. He was a Bunakaras at the time. In the monastery, you see some monk coming out of the dark, because in the monastery at night, in some places, the generators don't provide electricity. And so unless you have a torch, a flashlight, unless you have something to light your way, or unless you know where you're going because you've been there and are well-traveled and you know the route, you're going to trip and fall because there's all kinds of construction always taking place in the monastery. But when some monk comes out of the dark and he faces another monk coming towards him, what do you think happens? They both simultaneously make the sign of the cross, because it might be an apparition, it might be the devil, it might be an evil spirit. It's a sign, is it not? You can trust me, the devil's not going to make the sign of the cross. You can count on that. So you see somebody coming out of the dark and they go like this, you go, oh. There was a joke about black people one time that I heard that I like a lot. Suppose you saw, you know, a bunch of guys coming towards you, and they you know, had baseball caps on, crooked. And they were all like 6'6" and weighed 250 pounds, and they were taking up most of the sidewalk, and it was late at night, and you were in an area with which you were not very familiar, right? Would you feel a little intimidated? But then what if you looked down and you saw that each one in his hand was carrying a Bible? You go, ah. Oh. It would make all the difference in the world, wouldn't it? All the difference in the world. Why? Because you say, oh, he's a brother in Christ. Maybe he just came from a Bible study or he's going to church. But he's carrying a Bible, not a 45 or not a Glock 9. Right? I feel good now. Not that somebody 6'6", 250 pounds would need a 45 or a Glock 9 to dispatch me. But I'm saying these things to you because sometimes what the Lord does is very discreet, because what he is trying to do is to coalesce a group of people who may be entirely disparate in their own idea about how to live life, so that in this and around him they may come together and have everything in common, which is the word communion, communere, go together, come together, be together, right? So the Lord says, I'm going to teach you how to pray since you asked me. And then he said, Our Father who art in heaven. And you know the story. You've heard it many times from the Bible. But then there was another thing that was going on. You know, you can say Our Father who art in heaven all day long, but if you do not intone it properly, if the voice that is coming from you is coming from your throat and not your heart, it's worthless. We have an icon of over here of Saint Moses the Black. Do you remember Saint Moses' prayer? He was a pagan. He worshipped the sun. And he looked up at this fiery orb in the sky and he said, "Is this all there is? Is this it? If there is more to you than that, tell me." This was so deeply held inside him. It wasn't the normal manner of petition. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Let us give thanks. Our Father, who art in heaven, have mercy on me, O God, have mercy. None of that stuff. It was, oh, you. Maybe he called him Ra, the sun god, maybe not. But his petition was to our star, 93 million miles away. But God heard him because of the sound of his voice. It wasn't from his throat. It was from his heart, from his soul. And he answered him. He said, go into the desert and find Abba Isidore. You know, they're buried together in the monastery. You have St. Moses the Black and Abba Isidore together, even till this day. Yeah. And you can read in the Paradise of the Fathers. So the petitions that we make and the prayers that we make, the Lord is trying to teach us when we read this gospel. He said, you have always asked the Father. The Jews knew that there was a Father. And the Jews knew that there was a Holy Spirit, because it was by the Spirit of God that the prophets spoke. So the Jews knew this. This is why the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit was the unpardonable sin. You know the Spirit. You know it. It is from the mouth of everyone that you have obeyed from. The Hierophant himself, Moses, the one who went to Mount Sinai and gave you the Torah. If even today, if you speak about God the Father, a good Muslim will get up and leave the room. The Father doesn't have children. How can you call God your Father? You know, if God is the creator of children, oh my God, what do they do about Isa? What do they do about that? Now it's a bigger problem. It's like all of a sudden the scientists that promulgated the theory of the Big Bang, they started to think, what did we just say? The Big Bang? Oh my God. That's evidence that there is a God. You don't go from stasis to a situation of great dynamic force without a prime mover. Something has got to be the spark. And if you are at ease, as stasis is sometimes described, I go into stasis as soon as I get to my house after the liturgy. I lay down on my bed. But the Lord said, because the Jews, who were now his disciples, had known the Father, and he said, you've always asked me to pray for you to the Father, but you don't have to do that any longer. Now you can just pray. And because you love me, the Father is going to answer you. But here's the catch. Some people then, you know, a lot of times what we want to do in life is to make the path more brief. We miss a lot when we do that. But how many people have you ever heard say to you, get to the point? Get to the point. No, the point is the journey. The point is it is not the conclusion. You will not understand the conclusion if you don't understand the journey. If you don't understand the place of demarcation, you will not understand the direction or the force of all of the effort, so that when you arrive at the destination, everything that has happened along the way will have a greater import. If you're just traveling blithely, somebody's carrying you about and your head is bobbing around, you miss that too. But if you're intent and you listen, the Lord said, don't forget. Don't forget. This is why when we start our prayers, how do we start our prayers? Chembe Christos Isos Penchois. All the time we start our prayers with this. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then we pray, we petition. The whole liturgy of St. Basil that we pray today is directed especially to the Father. God the Father. Think about what you're praying. Let us give thanks unto the beneficent, the kind, the merciful God, the Father of our Lord, God and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, God for the Jews, you have the tetragrammaton, four consonants, Yad, He, Vav, He. These are the four Hebrew letters, Yad, He, Vav, He. But when you take the word for Lord and you use the vowels, not the consonants, the vowels, the vowels of Adonai, and you add them to Yud, He, Vav, He, you get Jehovah. Now, this is just an extrapolation made primarily by Protestants, Catholics, and Orthodox. The Jews never do this. Yud, He, Vav, He is not pronounceable by any Jew. So instead, when they see it written, they always say Adonai, the Lord, the Lord. When we come for the Segda prayers, we're also going to be praying a lot to the Lord who? The Holy Spirit. How often do you call the Holy Spirit Lord or Him? But think about what the Creed says. Yes, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son are worshipped and glorified, right? The Lord, the giver of life, the sustainer, the Moazi, the comforter, the one who reminds us. He does not speak of his own, but he speaks of that which he has heard. So the Lord says, you're going to be able to pray now. And then bolstered by this, someone says, probably Philip, well, now we know. Oh, you've taken the blinders off. You're not speaking in parables. You're speaking very clearly. Now we know that no one need to ask you anything. We know that you know all things. And the Lord looks at him. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? Let me tell you what's going to happen. Every one of you today is going to leave me. Everyone is going to depart from me. And yet I will not be alone, because my Father is with me. He wants them to know, because they know God is a Father. They know this from the beginning, all of the scriptures that they were raised on as children. They know God the Father, but they did not know Jesus Christ. Now, as Adam came into the world, and because of Adam, we, the sons of Adam, participate in his fall on some level. I'm not speaking theologically now. When Jesus Christ comes into the world, because he takes the human flesh, we participate in his divinity somehow. I'm not speaking theologically now. But it is this grasp of the nature of his Godhead, that he is fully man and fully God. And they want so badly to believe it. And they strain to believe it. But they don't believe it. Now, this, of course, is prior to his resurrection. After the resurrection, they were really emboldened. But then again, after the 50 days that he, or 40 days that he is with them, after this 40 days, he's going to leave again. And he said, it's to your benefit, because the Holy Spirit will come. And now they're waiting, and they're waiting patiently, and they don't know when it's going to come. We do. 10 days after the ascension. He didn't say wait 10 days. There's no place in the Bible that says just wait 10 days. I can wait 10 days. I wait for my paycheck, right? You wait for your paycheck. It'll come. You know what date it comes? Mine comes on the 5th and the 20th. Right? So, wait 10 days. He didn't say that. He said, wait. He just said, wait. And then the Holy Spirit did come. And when the Holy Spirit came, it filled them with fire, such that there was a cloven flame, a bifurcation of the flame, like my fingers held up over my head. If you look at a good icon, we don't have one of those. We're going to get one. But of the date of Pentecost, it came on women too. It was not just men. People always think it was the 12 disciples. Well, first of all, it was the 11. But it was also on women. They were present in the upper room, waiting on the Lord. He said, this is going to give you the constant, the continuous comfort and reminder of everything that I said to you when I was with you. And this Spirit will not depart. This Spirit will not depart. Now, I like to bring in controversies, and so I want to do one more controversial thing. There are some people that think that when the priest is ordained, that you get this Holy Spirit, or the disciples, the Lord had already at the Last Supper he spent with them, breathed onto his holy disciples and pure apostles, and he said, whoever sins you remit, they're remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? The Spirit that was going to come 10 days after his ascension, receive that. Not I'm giving it to you now, receive it now. Receive that. Receive him. Receive that Lord. He's coming to you. You know, the icon of St. Cyril that we have in the foyer of our church, it has FBI. Remember? From the Father, by the Son, in the Holy Spirit. The Spirit sustains. The Spirit sustains. Receive that Spirit. Receive that so that you can be light and salt. Receive that Spirit so that you can pass it on. Receive that Spirit so that whatever it is that you have received, you will be able to keep and preserve unblemished. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. So there's a controversy in the church about whether or not the disciples of the Lord received the Holy Spirit twice, once from Jesus and once from the Holy Spirit himself, or Jesus was giving them the Holy Spirit, his Spirit, the Spirit of the priesthood of Melchizedek, or then saying, when the Holy Spirit comes, receive him. Like you would receive a guest coming from a far place into your home. All right. I will reiterate one more time. Next Saturday, there will be a baptism and a liturgy. And then on Sunday, very important, there will be a liturgy. And after we eat, there will be the very, very important prayers for the institution of our church, the Segedi prayers. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen.